Good morning. If I was to swing through and just question you this morning and say, what is your calling? I wonder how you'd respond to that. I want to preface the message this morning just with this statement. Everyone in this room that claims the name of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord has a calling on your life. Often you'll hear pastors talk about, I was called to ministry, and I know I tell my story of being called to New Mexico, and then when we were done in Mexico, we were called to hear, well, you know, God calls us into ministry, and he expects us to be a part of this. So as we go through the message, I hope you're thinking about that. What is it that God's calling me to? There were two Kentucky horse racing stables. They had the fancy horses and all that. These two stables developed a real keen rivalry with each other. And every spring, they would both enter a horse in a local race, and one of them would come out, you know, the champion for the year. Well, one year there was one of the owners decided that maybe what he would do, he knew he had a fast horse, but he'd go one better, and he would hire a professional rider. And by hiring a professional rider, maybe he would gain an edge on the other one and win and do well. So he hired a hotshot jockey, and the day of the race finally came, and as usual, their two horses were leading the race just right off from the start. And finally, they're coming around to the last fence, and the two horses, sure enough, are neck and neck, and they're close. But the final fence kind of proved to be too much for both of the horses. Both of them fell down. The riders were thrown. But that didn't stop the professional jockey. He remounted quickly and easily won the race. When he got back to the stable, He found the horse owner was just fuming, just mad and angry and fuming with rage. And he really didn't understand his behavior because he won the race. And he said, "What's the matter with you? I won the race, didn't I?" And the red-faced owner nodded and said, "Oh yeah, you won the race, but you won on the wrong horse." The jockey had the best of intentions, and he intended to win the race, but he became distracted from the task he had, and he made a bad decision, and ultimately he failed in what he was trying to do. Well, folks, oftentimes we wind up doing the same thing with our walk with Jesus. Oh, we start out strong, and we have the best intentions. However, at some point, we become distracted and we lose our way. Does that sound familiar? When I first began my walk with God, there was this clear path, this clear vision. This is where I'm going. This is what God wants for me. And sometimes, you know, when we think of callings, they don't have to be these grand, spectacular, huge things. You can have a calling to be a Christian father. Or a Christian mother. Greatest calling you could have, to train up the children the way that God would want them to be. That can be your calling. And if that is your calling, then do your best to do what God wants you to do with that. But we get sidetracked, and sometimes what we have to do is we have to go back to the beginning and remember how it happened that you came to faith and what Jesus has called you to do. Can you go back that far? I talked to somebody the other day, and it's a not unfamiliar story, and their story was this. We were talking about when they came to faith, and the young lady said, "Well, I don't know." Now, trust me, she loves God, and she has received Christ as Savior and Lord. It's apparent in her life. And the fruit of the Spirit is exhibited through her. So we know that she's saved. But she said, "I don't know. I've just always known who God is. Mom and Dad took us to church every Sunday, and they made sure we were there. Dad would talk to us about God, and Mom would tell us stories from the Bible. And she just talked about, I don't know, that moment, that time, that second, when everything changed and I gave my life to Christ, because I think I've just always believed. What a great story. Now, I didn't follow that path, and probably a lot of you sitting here didn't follow that path. You found Christ on a different journey through different ways, and your life has just been very diverse. Can you go back to that time? Can you remember when you were living life and you were living for yourself and not for God, and maybe you didn't know, maybe you didn't care? Another young person that I'm working with and talking with and meeting with on a regular basis has this, and this is a true statement for today's society, especially younger people, is this individual says, I don't have anything against God, I just don't know that I believe in God. And this person wants to hear, tell me about God so that I might understand. That's very common today, and it's a common thing that happens. We have a responsibility to share that. Well, Peter kind of lost his way. In John 21, beginning with verse 15, it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time, he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, follow me. As we look at this passage and we start off today, I want you to understand I'm talking about your calling and the importance of it, and we're going to start by reviewing your calling. Now, all of you, like I said, God has called you to himself. That's that calling of receiving Christ. And it's really important to ever so often just remind yourself of what is your calling. And it means going back in your mind to the point when God saved you and called you to follow and to serve him. Peter and the disciples were very discouraged at this point. They were waiting for Jesus to appear, and they were growing very impatient. And they began to look back on the good old days in their lives before things became so complicated, and frankly, who can blame them? They had it pretty good before they started following Christ, and they were just going about their everyday routine, doing their everyday lives, and really living them for themselves and just taking care of themselves. But then suddenly Christ comes into their life, and he had a calling for them and things that he wanted them to do, and life became a little bit more complicated, to the point of going to the cross with Jesus and seeing him suffer and die on the cross, this one that they had come to love, and he was supposed to return to them, and they were somewhat disappointed. The days when there was a daily routine that they could be counted on, well, they had security in knowing that, but that had all been changed. John 21, verse 1. Afterward, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." Remember, the guys are getting bored now. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but his disciples didn't realize that it was Jesus. And he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Peter was kind of having one of those days in verse 3. And it's like, "I'm going out to fish. I've been sitting and waiting, and I'm going out to fish." And the Greek word that is used here, actually, when he calls these guys and says he's going out to fish, the Greek word is hypago, and it's used to mean, "I retire. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm retiring from this. I have been sitting, I've been waiting, I've done what I was supposed to do, but now I'm retiring." By the way, we're never given permission to retire from Jesus. Isn't that great? And the more we try to be drawn close to him, the closer he draws us into him. But the details of what happened next are very similar to when Peter was first called into ministry. They both occurred on the Sea of Galilee. Both times Peter couldn't catch a thing. I wonder if he was just a bad fisherman. And both times Jesus told him to throw his nets into the water, and both times there was a miraculous catch. And as we go through life, it's important to take time regularly and go back to where it all began. Peter had gone back to where it all began. What about you? Have you ever thought back on that? What was life like before Jesus, and then when I met Jesus, and today? And sometimes what we find, guys, is that where we started, we've allowed ourselves to deviate from. Where we started rejoicing in a risen Savior is not really where we're walking today. And we stray on the path, and sometimes it's hard because finding our way back to the right path can be a tough job. Maybe you've done this, maybe you haven't. But think about this. Where is that place for you? Where is that place that you go to in your own mind when things get tough and you feel like quitting? Let's be honest. How many here have ever felt like quitting? Yeah. Satan loves that. And we have to go back to where did we start to really understand. Now, for me, my getaway place really isn't where I started my walk with Christ. My getaway place is where I could go, and God would meet me there anytime. And it's I've shared this before. I've got the picture on the wall at our house. It's a beautiful waterfall in North Carolina. And you park down on the road, and the waterfall starts up on top of the mountain, comes all the way down the mountain, and so you hike up the waterfall. It's a gorgeous hike, and there's this particular rock up there that sits out kind of over the water, so the waterfall is breaking down under you, and then when you look, you look out, and the whole valley just opens up before you with this waterfall. That's where I like to go. I want to be alone with God. That place has been so beneficial over the years. I had a picture of it in my office when I was working for conservation. I had a picture of it in my office on the reservation in New Mexico. And now we have a picture hanging in our living room. That's my place where I like to go and be alone with God, because that's where God likes to meet me. I think he likes the waterfall too. And so maybe you have a specific place. Often we fail in our calling because we don't understand the significance and the importance of what Christ has called us to do. We forget what really matters. And do you understand that God has a plan for your life? This all comes together. It's all a part of it. And he has a plan for your life. You understand that your calling can see, and you can see how God wants to change the world through you. Oh, wait a minute. It's just little old me. How is God possibly going to change the world through me? Let me tell you something. Jesus changed the world one person at a time. And he called some to follow. And one person at a time. We're here 2,000 plus years later because he called one person at a time. How can you change the world through simple little you? What's your life like? What's your calling and how do you deal with it? Do people know that you're a Christian? Do you share it? Oh, no, that'd be too hard. They'd make fun of me. Well, God has a purpose for you. So we want to go back. We want to go back and visit our beginning, but then we also want to renew our calling. And there's times in life when we fail and when we fall, and at those times we need to not only review but also renew our calling. No matter how badly that you've blown it, Jesus wants to restore you. And he still wants to be your very best friend and still can use you to build his kingdom. To do this, there's some steps that you have to take, and you need to confront your sin. That's hard for us because there's certain sin we don't mind. We'll go to God and we'll say, okay, God, forgive me for this sin. But there's certain ones that we just kind of hold on to, and we don't really want to bring those to God because it's, you know, he's going to be disappointed. I'm disappointed in myself because of this sin. He's going to be disappointed, and so we kind of hold him back. If we're going to renew our calling, though, we have to be honest. Remember the day? Do you remember the day that whether it was in church or at home or in your vehicle or whatever, remember the day that you bowed your head and you said, here I am, God, a sinner, and you know all of my sins and all of my faults and everything I did wrong, and please, Lord, forgive me? And you felt that forgiveness? Do you remember a time when maybe there was a particular sin in your life and it was just something you couldn't get rid of and you knew it was wrong and you called out to God and you said, God, help me with this. Take this away and forgive me. And he did. Do you remember that time? You've got to renew your calling, and to do so is being honest with God and confessing your sins before him. That's one of the steps. Admit it and confess it. And once you resolve that, God can and will restore you and return you to fruitful service. I'm trying so hard to do what God wants me to do, but it seems like the harder I try to do what God wants me to do, the further I float away. You ever feel that? Man, God is calling you back in, and he's saying, I've got purpose for you. Jesus starts here by addressing Peter by his real name, Simon. And as Peter had not been much of a rock, Jesus goes back to the name that he had when they first met. And there's many questions that Jesus might have asked Peter that day. He might have asked, why did you deny me? You remember the story? What do you have to say for yourself, Peter? Instead, he asked Peter a simple question. Do you love me? Now, in asking that question, he's not implying that Peter doesn't love him. He's bringing Peter to the bedrock of what makes him tick. He's taking him to the prerequisite of all ministry, folks. Do you love me? Let me ask you today, because God is asking, do you love me? Talking to God. Do you love me? How do you respond to that? God tugs at your heart, and this morning he's saying to you, do you love me? Just as Jesus was saying to Peter, do you love me? You see, it's very important that we understand that. And no question is more important or more basic than that question. He doesn't ask him if he's a great speaker. He doesn't ask him if he's a great people person. He does not inquire about his seminary training or Bible knowledge. He doesn't analyze his personality to see whether he has the people skills to do the job. All those factors are important, but the starting point is love. And one basic qualification for ministry is found in this most probing question from Jesus. Do you love me? And in your life, and as you think of Christ in your life, he's looking at you and he's asking you that question, do you love me? Seems simple, but it's the only motive for ministry that will endure the test. He doesn't even ask, do you love people? Ministry does not begin with a love for people. It begins with a love for God, and that love overflows to people. If we minister only out of a humanistic love for people, then we will become what's called people pleasers. And we'll tell people the answers that they want to hear, not the answers they need to hear. You ever find yourself in that position? Man, I know what God wants to say, but boy, if I tell them, they're going to be mad. If you're a people pleaser, it's very hard to bring a serious message about Jesus Christ because we don't want to step on toes and we don't want to offend anybody. Jesus doesn't say, do you love people? He says, do you love me? If we minister with humanistic love for people, it just doesn't work. God pleasers. Everything begins with a holy love toward the Lord. Nothing will keep ministry on course like a deep love for the Lord. With love, God can use us, but without love, folks, we are nothing. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 13, and listen to these words because it's very important to understand. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries of knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Folks, this passage says that love is everything. And without love, you are nothing. That's a message I think the world needs to hear today. Because oftentimes we don't see a lot of love going on. What I find very encouraging about Jesus' question is that anybody can love the Lord. Anybody. And you don't have to have a great charismatic personality. You don't have to have a high IQ or be a super athlete or even, you know, especially good looking. Everybody in this room can qualify on the most important issue of all. Love comes first. The night before Jesus' crucifixion, Peter had claimed a higher devotion to the Lord than all of the other disciples. He said in Matthew 26:33, even if all fall away on account of you, I will never. Now listen to that. I will never. Or I never will. I tell you the truth. Jesus answered, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. And this time Peter makes no boasts or no comparisons. He doesn't claim to be better than anyone else. His previous failure was still way too close as Jesus is now talking to him. Peter simply submits his answer to Christ's omniscience. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. There's brokenness in his voice. The tone is completely different. Why did Jesus press the question three times? Well, perhaps it was giving Peter a chance to affirm for each time that he had denied Christ. Perhaps he is simply emphasizing the importance of the issue. Jesus doesn't focus on past failures. Did you know that? He doesn't focus on past failures. He focuses on future success. My qualifications for ministry today and in life is quite simply is the love that I have for the Lord in my heart right now. Right now. And if I don't love Him, then I'm not going to serve Him with all my heart. Jesus says, "Do you love me with all your heart? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul. It's first and greatest commandment. Everything else follows that." And if you're here today and you're thinking, you know, my walk with God isn't what it used to be. My prayers seem empty. I'm just kind of a numb. Perhaps you need to go back. Perhaps you need to renew that love for God and that love for Jesus. Perhaps you need to take a look at that and see what that really looks like. What is God's love like? The other thing is you need to be resting in your calling. Verses 18 and 19, after restoring Peter, Jesus goes for a walk with him, and Peter notices John following them. Full of what has just been spoken into his heart, Peter asks about John. Listen to this, John 21, verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was one who had leaned back against Jesus on the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Peter was somewhat disturbed that he had somebody following along during this private conversation he was having with Jesus. John's kind of walking along with him, and Peter becomes concerned about it. Maybe Peter thought, "This is just a private conversation between me and you, Jesus." So what about John? You know, and he's wanting Jesus to tell John to go back. He's wanting Jesus to turn him around. When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." It doesn't matter what others are doing. Do you catch that? It doesn't matter who's doing what for God. God is saying, "You must follow me. You, in person, you, the one that I have called, you, the one that I've poured myself into, you, the one that I've given special skills and special abilities to, you must follow me. Don't worry about that other one." Have you ever caught yourself looking at someone else's life and wondering why they have it so easy and you have it so hard? Everyone around you just kind of seems like they dance through life, but you find yourself constantly struggling just to make it through another week. You ever do those comparisons? Why do I have these ailments and these problems and these struggles, but, you know, these people over here, they don't even know God? This is the one that I hear all the time, or I have for many years. They don't even know God, and boy, they have a real fancy home, and they have a real fancy car, and they have a family, and they're never sick, and the kid's a star student, and the kid's a star athlete, and blah, 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 and they got everything. And here I am, I believe in Jesus, and I love Jesus, and Jesus is with me. How come I don't have all this stuff? That's the woe is me syndrome. Comparison. Jesus loves you. He has poured himself into you. He has given you everything and anything that you have for this life. And he's given you all that you need for this life. Remember, we're preparing for eternity. We don't understand it. But God's not called us to compare ourselves with other people. Quite simply, He has called us to obey. That's all. And if, folks, if you are walking in obedience to God, I want to just share this with you, and it wasn't even in my notes, like so many other things. If we're in obedience, if we're doing what God wants us to do, we don't want anything else. We're content. You know? If I'm walking in obedience, life is good. And God fills my heart with a joy that, you know, what is it? Peace that passes all understanding. It's in my heart. Because God has poured Himself into me, and I don't have to worry about somebody else. All I have to do is be obedient to God. In Hebrews 21:1, it says that we are to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You notice there that God marks out the course, not us. He chooses the route, and for each one of us, it's different. He also chooses the talents, the temperament, the trials, and tests that we will have to face. And you can't compare yourself to another person because you're not that person. They have their course, and you have yours. You cannot choose your calling. Your calling chooses you. We don't jump up and down and say, "Okay, Jesus, this is my calling. I'm going to go do it. Would you come along with me, please?" It doesn't work that way. We take all of our energy, all of our effort, all of our faith in Jesus Christ and all that we know about Jesus, and we say, "Jesus, where are you going in my life? Where are you leading? Where do you want me to go?" And when we see, whether it's the church or our own life, when we see Christ going somewhere, when we see Christ doing what Christ does, we put all of our efforts, all of our energy, all of our well, whatever, into following Christ. It works. Because if you're following Him, and if you're going where He wants you to go, you have peace inside and you have contentment. It works that simple. Where's Jesus going in your life? What skills has He given you that nobody else has, that He says, "I can use you. I have purpose for your life." Now, some, we're still kind of maybe walking a different path, and we haven't quite realized that we need to get right with God. We need to get right with Christ and get our lives back where it needs to be. And Jesus here is essentially, He says to Peter, "Mind your own business, and I'll do whatever I decide to do with him without reporting to you." Wow. Don't worry about the other person. God's got control, and He doesn't answer to us. He doesn't answer to us, and He's telling Peter, "Just don't worry about it." Parents, it's important to remember that your kids are different than you. And we have to explain to them that while we love them and want what is best for them, ultimately it's God's calling on their life that is the most important thing. And our plans for them must line up with God's plans for them. We want them to know what it looks like to learn and to love God. And maybe differently from what they understand. Every person here has some kind of a ministry, some kind of a calling on your life. And we have a mission. We have a mandate that we were made for. And God has called us to follow Him and given us the privilege of investing our lives in His sheep. Perhaps today, Jesus wants to remind you of His calling on your life. But His calling is perfect, but it can also be very costly. You cannot approach this half-heartedly. You can't say, "Jesus, I love you, but..." Because anytime you throw that in there, you're saying, I love you, but just not quite enough. I love you and I want to follow you, but. And every time you throw a but in, that sounded wrong. Anytime you do that, you're saying, God, there's a thought that I am not willing to let go of. And there's something that I'm holding on to, and I'm not going to follow you in this. His calling is perfect, and it may be costly. So what is your calling? God wants you to build something with your life, and he wants to build something with your life if you'll let him. And I want to encourage you today to review that calling, your calling. And if you failed and fallen, then let Jesus renew that calling in your life and rest in the fact that God wants to do something amazing in this world through you. You! God has chosen you, and he wants to do something absolutely incredible through you. I get excited with that. I get excited with that. What about you, folks? What about that? What is his calling? There was a missionary by the name of John Hyde. He went to India a little over 100 years ago. And before he went, he took many years to prepare for going to India and for this ministry, including a lot of hours spent to learn the local language. In 1892, he boarded a steamer in New York bound for India. On the ship, John received a telegram from a close family friend. He opened it hurriedly on the deck of the ship, and the only words of the telegram were this: John Hyde, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? John's response was one of heated anger. He crumpled the paper and put it in his pocket and went to bed. Unable to sleep, he tossed and turned all night. He rose from bed and in the early morning hours and read the message on the piece of paper again. And he just thought to himself, the audacity of somebody to ask me that question, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? I've given myself to become a missionary. I've dedicated my life to this. I'm leaving my home and going to another country. How dare they ask me if I am filled with the Holy Spirit? Did they not understand all that he'd gone through and done to equip himself for his calling? Did they not understand that he had received a Bachelor's of Arts degree and studied the language and was now on his way and determined to pursue his destiny? Yeah, he was on his way. But Hyde's spirit was challenged by that note. After much, much soul searching, he fell to his knees before the Father. Oh God, he cried out, the audacity of me thinking that I could pray or preach or witness or live or serve or do anything else in my own strength and power. Fill me with your strength. Fill me with your power. John Hyde, one of the great missionary statesmen of all time. Why? Because of the spirit which enabled him to face the challenges of his life and the challenges of power of God. The work was difficult, and initially no one came to Christ. But John was driven by prayer. He actually came to be known as Praying Hyde. And over the years, God used him to touch the nation of India, and he changed lives in many people forever. What is your calling? That's how I started out today. And I want to bring that around to you just one more time. What is your calling? Are you just playing a game with God where we say, here I am, God, but we really don't mean it? Are we just kind of going through the motions, putting up a good front and a good show, What is your calling? I know as I study Scripture that God has called every one of his children to do something. And it's not something for yourself. It's something for him. What is your calling? Do you understand it this morning? It all starts with loving God. Do you love God? Well, yeah, we love God. That's why we're here. Are you living like you love God? Do you love him enough to let him lead? Do you love him enough to let him show you your calling? My prayer is that the Lord would remind you of your calling, that he would renew your spirit, and that he would release his love in you today. Because you have a message. You have something to share with a hurting world. So what are you going to do with it? I don't know. I know what I'm wanting to do, and I know what I'm going to do with it. But how about you? Your calling, your love for God, how do you follow? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've been called by you. Father, you knock on the door of our hearts and you call. And we open the door and Father, you come in and you lead us. And Father, we love you. We love Jesus Christ, and we love what Christ has done for us. We love him enough to put everything first as we follow him. And my prayer today is that those who are here will maybe take a look at themselves and take a look at their calling, because we know, Lord, that you're doing it. And where there is failure, we pray, Lord, that you would show them success. We pray, Father, for a love for you, that begins everything. That is the first, that is the greatest commandment, love the Lord our God. And in doing so, we're able to follow. So we lift this up to you. I pray for each one today. Just pour your blessings on them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.